الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد, all praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to send His peace and His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad, His companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. In Surah Al-Baqarah of the Book of Tafsir of Sheikh Al-Allama Rahmatullah Alayhi Ibn Sa'di, he says, pertaining to the ayah, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولقد أنزلنا إليك آيات بينات وما يكفر بها إلا الفاسقون. Can someone kindly read verse 99 in English, please?
بسم الله. And indeed we have sent down to you many of this ayah, which inquired in detail about the news of the news and their secret intention, etc. And none is believing in the fasiqun, those who rebel against Allah.
بارك الله فيك. يقول الشيخ رحمة الله عليه, يقول لنبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم ولقد أنزلنا إليك آيات بينات تحصل بها الهداية لمن استهدى وإقامة الحجة على من عاند. الله says to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, we send down upon you clear proofs and signs and verses, the Shaykh said, in which guidance is provided for those who seek to be guided. And the proof is established against those who are stubborn. So those who rebel and are stubborn, then whatever Allah has sent down from the Quran is a refutation for them and an establishment of the proof and the evidence of the truth against them. And for those who want to be guided, then in the Quran they will find the guidance. So the people are divided into two. وهي من الوضوح والدلالة على الحق قد بلغت مبلغا عظيما. And the nature of these verses and whatever Allah has sent down upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so clear in guiding people to the truth that it has reached the greatest level of doing such. يعني there's nothing more clear than that. ووصلت إلى حالة لا يمتنع من قبولها أو من قبولها إلا من فسق عن أمر الله. It has reached such a point that none truly will reject it unless a person who has disobeyed the command of Allah, someone who has fisk. يعني من خرج عن طاعة الله, the one who becomes disobedient and violates the laws and the sanctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وخرج عن طاعة الله واستكبر غاية التكبر. So someone who disobeys Allah, he abandoned himself of obedience to Allah, and furthermore he is extremely, extremely arrogant. The only one who truly disbelieves in the Quran is someone who is really arrogant, because they cannot even find any faults in it. They cannot prove that it is not from Allah. And whenever a Christian tells you, prove to me that this Quran is from God, you turn around and say, no, no, I don't need to prove to you, I believe. You prove to me that this Quran is not from God. If you are denying something from God, it's your job to prove it. Otherwise, we have every evidence to prove that this is from God. And tell them, for example, I will prove to you that the Bible that you have, you tell me that you believe that, you know, I don't want you to prove to me that the Bible is correct, because I know you believe so. But because I don't agree with you, I will prove to you that the Bible you have in your hands is not from God. And then you bring to them a list of contradictions and you say, how is this from God? And Allah says in the Quran, وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Allah says about any revelation, had it been from other than Allah, they would find in it much contradiction. So tell them, now you prove to me that the faults and the errors you have in the Bible are in the Quran. Then we could say that the same way I'm claiming this book is not from God, you can claim that this book is not from God. Otherwise, I cannot prove to you, because it's obvious like the sun. You have to prove to me. They will never be able to prove. You see, they just reject. Say, I just don't believe. Prove to me it's not from God, I just don't believe it's from God. Inshallah. Is this a game? Just whatever your desires tell you, You believe in that, you don't believe in that. This is a serious affair. If you make a claim, you have to prove it. I'll give you an example, a worldly example. Let's say a car factory, they release some new update on how to fix the air condition in your car, you know, and you walk around and it's from Toyota, okay, and you see all over in the newspapers, you know, the newspapers, you open a newspaper, there's a flyer that says Toyota on it, says important update for your air condition, okay. So you go to apply it, they tell you how to do something tricky so the air will become stronger. Someone will tell you, no, this flyer, this is fake, not from Toyota. He tells you, prove to me that this is from Toyota. I said, I'm here, I got it in the newspaper. Come on now, you think they're going to send some fake information in the newspaper? It says Toyota on it, there's a trademark, you know, here's the location, you have everything to prove that this is from Toyota. If you don't, if you think otherwise, you prove to me that this is fake. Otherwise, I have every reason to believe that. If we're going to use this methodology, you cannot, if someone gave you this copy, is there poison? Prove to me that there's no poison. Yeah, I mean, why do I have to prove to you there's no poison? If you believe there's poison, you prove to me that there's poison. Otherwise, you will never be, you cannot live a life, a normal life with this mentality. So similarly, the same way you tell the person, because everything indicates this is from Toyota and it's original, I'm going to apply it to my car, unless you prove to me that this is fake. So it's not my job, it's your job. If he says, I don't want to prove to you, say, I'm going to go put it in my car. Because you're just playing games with me now. You just talk too much. You say something, and when I ask you to back it up, you're unable to do so. You understand this? This is very relevant in your da'wah with your non-Muslim family members. Very important. Because they may try to tell you, who said that this Quran is from God? And how are you going to prove to me the Quran? God say, I don't have to prove to you. Everything is, look at all these people around the world believing in the book. You know? For us to say that they're wrong, we have to prove to them that their book is wrong. So you say, here's the Quran, read. Show me how the Quran is similar to the Bible, the one you have between your hands. They will not be able to do so. Either they will then say, okay, it must be from God, then they must become Muslims, or they will be rebellious, fasiqoon. They intentionally turn away from the guidance of Allah because of the wickedness that they have, and then Allah will treat them accordingly on the Day of Judgment. You see what I'm saying? So this is what is intended by this verse. Clear verses, clear as the sun. And really none will truly disbelieve in them unless someone is corrupt. Otherwise, subhanAllah, it's from Allah, mercy from Allah. How do you reject it? طيب, ممتاز. أَوَكُلَّمَا عَاهَدُوا عَهْدًا نَبَذَهُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Let me continue to read the other ones as well so we can get to words with us talk. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ولما جاءهم رسول من عند الله مصدق لما معهم نبذ فريق من الذين أوتوا الكتاب كتاب الله وراء ظهورهم كأنهم لا يعلمون واتبعوا ما تتلو الشياطين على ملك سليمان وما كفر سليمان ولكن الشياطين كفروا يعلمون الناس السحر وما أنزل على الملكين ببابل هاروت وماروت وما يعلمان من أحد حتى يقولا إنما نحن فتنة فلا تكفر فيتعلمون منهما ما يفرقون به بين المرء وزوجه وما هم بضارين به من أحد إلا بإذن الله ويتعلمون ما يضرهم ولا ينفعهم ولقد علموا لمن اشتراه ما له في الآخرة من خلاق ولبئس ما شروا به أنفسهم لو كانوا يعلمون ولو أنهم آمنوا واتقوا لمثوبة من عند الله خير لو كانوا يعلمون. Someone please read verses 101, 102, excuse me, from 100 to 103 in English.
The case that every time giving a forbidden somebody among them threw it aside. Nay, the truth is, most of them believe that. And we entered them today and mentioned them from Allah, confirming all what we did, according to those who were given the scripture, throw away the book of Allah behind their backs, if they did not so. They found what the shaitan gave up in falsity of magic. In the lifetime of Sulaiman, Sulaiman did not disbelieve, but the shaitan disbelieved, teaching men magic and sustain the kingdom of Babylon to the two angels, Harut and Marut, that neither of these two angels have anyone such things. Then he had said, we are only poor pariahs, so disbelieve not by their magic from us. And from this angel, people learned that by which they cause separation between man and his wife, but they could not harm anyone except by Allah's name. And they learned that this harm they would have been not. And indeed, they knew that the buyers of the country would have no share in the hereafter, and how bad indeed was that for which they sold their own empty but fields.
One last verse.
And if they had believed and guarded themselves from evil and gave their duty to Allah, far better would have been the reward from the Lord if they had believed.
Barakallah fi. These are now some verses dealing with magic, inshallah, and this is something very much relevant and maybe totally new to you. Maybe in your Islamic life you haven't really dwelt into the reality of magic in Islam, and what do we believe about it, and to what extent is it beneficial or harmful? Beneficial, let's just use the word harmful. To what extent is it harmful? Is it real? Is it imaginary? These verses will shed some light on this particular issue to a certain extent, inshallah. The Shaykh says, أي ولما جاءهم هذا الرسول الكريم بالكتاب العظيم بالحق الموافق لما معهم وكانوا يزعمون أنهم متمسكون بكتابهم فلما كفروا بهذا الرسول وبما جاء به نبذ فريق من الذين أوتوا الكتاب كتاب الله الذي أنزل إليهم أي طرحوه رغبة عنه وراء ظهورهم. لا إله إلا الله. The Shaykh said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when this messenger, this honorable, noble messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came to them with the great, magnificent book that contains the truth, and it is in agreement with what they have in their hands, from the things that they did not distort. And they used to claim, the Jews and the Christians, that they hold tight to their books, that they really believe in their books, and that their books are God sent. But when this Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to them and they disbelieved in him, what they turned out doing is that they put behind or threw behind their backs, they abandoned, they disregarded the book of Allah. Yani the Shaykh said, yani they threw it behind in a form of carelessness behind their backs. وَهَذَا أَبْلَغُ فِي الْإِعْرَاضِ كَأَنَّهُمْ فِي فِعْلِهِمْ هَذَا مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ صِدْقَهُ وحقية ما جاء به أو حقيقة ما جاء به. Both words were mentioned here. He said this is an indication of how يعني wicked the way that they threw the book, you know, the expression used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to describe, you know, even right now, if someone gives you something, okay, someone gives you a flower, okay, if you don't like it, huh, you could put it in the drawer, okay? Maybe you don't want to hurt his feelings. But what would it be if someone gave you a flower and right in front of them you say, hey, shahada, you throw it in the trash, huh? Now, in both ways you rejected the flower, but one was rude, offensive, an indication about your just, you know, what is this? And the other one, you have some mannerism, you don't want to hurt the person's feelings, you hide it, somebody else will take it, you throw it away later, but you don't do it in his presence. So Allah describing them the way they threw the book behind their back, it's not like, you know, in a nice manner, it's just like, meh. Because they have verses in the Old Testament and the New Testament that Jesus said that, you know, that Allah told Moses, that I will send upon them a messenger like unto thee, like you, like Moses. You know, and he will not speak of his own will. It will be my words. He will speak my words. My words will be put in his mouth. This is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Allah described him in the Quran, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, they knew about the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even they say that in the Hebrew script, the word is Muhammadin. Muhammadin. And in the Hebrew is that of like the plural, royal plural of respect. Otherwise, it's Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Hebrew script. But now when they translate it to English, they say the altogether lovely. The altogether lovely. They don't mention the name. Although it is not allowed to translate someone's name. As Ahmad did, as Rahimahullah established, you cannot, if your name was, he said, you know, Mr. Black, you cannot call this person Aswad or something along these lines, because it's a name. You know, if your name is, whatever your name is, you must keep the name the same. You cannot translate the name and say that you refer to such person. So here he was mentioned, alayhi salatu salam, alayhi salam, by name, Muhammadin. Yet they turn around and say, the, you know, the comforter, the all praised one, you know, and what have you. Although the all praised one is Muhammad, from Hamd, Alhamdulillah, praising Allah, Muhammad, the one who's praised, the praised one. So even currently, in the current day Bible, regardless of the version that you have, there are clear indications about the prophecy and the coming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they knew about them, that when he came to them, they rejected him. By rejecting him, it's as if they threw their books behind their back. Because now you deny your own book. Your own book is telling you this event is going to happen. The event happens, you belie the event. You deny the event. You are denying your book. If you truly believe in your book, how could you deny the event that your book told you will happen? You see what I'm saying? So it's logical and common sense. And this is what is indicated by these particular verses. And they knew the truth. They knew that this is the truth. But subhanallah, Allah musta'an. تبين بهذا أن هذا الفريق من أهل الكتاب لم يبقى في أيديهم شيء حيث لم يؤمنوا بهذا الرسول. He said it becomes clear that this particular group among the people of the book, they have nothing left in their hands because they did not believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فصار كفرهم به كفرا بكتابه من حيث لا يشعرون. So now their disbelief in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam necessitates their disbelief in their book. When the book said, like right now, you read in the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us some of the events that will happen on the Day of Judgment, or in the early stages of Day of Judgment, such as the dabba, the animal that will rise from the ground, and it will speak to the people, okay? There will be an animal towards the end of the Day of the Judgment, the animal that will rise from the ground, and it will speak to the people about matters of faith. One of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone lives this particular incident and is supposedly a believer in the Quran, and you read this in the Quran, and then when this event happens, they deny it. What have they done? They deny the Quran. Because Allah told you this will happen in the Quran. The event happens, you deny the event, you're denying the Quran. So similarly, they have indications that the Prophet Muhammad will come. He comes, their books tell them he will come, they reject him, then they really don't believe in the book. Automatically, without even them paying attention, that they have disbelieved in the book. So, that's what is intended. وَلَمَّا كَانَ مِنَ الْعَوَائِدِ الْقَدَرِيَّ وَالْحِكْمَ الْإِلَهِيَّ أَنَّ مَنْ تَرَكَ مَا يَنْفَعُهُ وَأَمْكَنَهُ الْإِنْتِفَاعُ بِهِ فَلَمْ يَنْتَفِعُ ابْتُلِيَ بِالْإِشْتِغَالِ بِمَا يَضُرُّهُ. Now this is very relevant to us, ya shabab. This is a principle that we must understand very well in our lives. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist us to understand it and implement it. Listen to this now. The Shaykh said, and it is known, it is something that is known when it comes to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the wisdom, the divine wisdom of Allah, that this is from the divine wisdom of Allah and that which He has decreed to ever be the case, to ever be the case until the Day of Judgment, that whosoever will abandon that which is beneficial for him, while he was able to benefit from him, he will become occupied with something that will harm him. If you are given the chance to benefit, Allah gives you the chance to benefit from any particular event, and you have the chance, you have the means to benefit from it, but you do not take that opportunity, then automatically by the wisdom of Allah you will become busy and occupied with something that not only will not benefit you but will harm you because of the choices that you make. You see what I'm saying? So you have an opportunity to learn, you have an opportunity to improve yourself, you have an opportunity to do something, and you do not, and Allah keeps giving you the chances, inviting you to come, to learn, to improve yourself, you continue to ignore and disregard. If you have this particular methodology, then it is only just and fair that you will become preoccupied with things that will no longer benefit you. So you're given a chance, you know, when you don't take advantage of it, even in the world they say this example, you know, you only get one chance, huh? The opportunities don't come again. You know, once in a lifetime opportunity, you should take advantage of it. You never know, this may never happen again. This is, why do the people say that? Because they have seen from the decree of Allah over the passage of years that this is really what happens. This is really what happens. And this is from Allah. So for the believer, to the non-Muslims, this is, it's not a big deal. To us, this is a big deal. When we are given a chance to benefit in a way and we don't take advantage of this benefit, then we will be given something that will harm us. And this could be applied to the classes that we are having. You coming to the Jumu'ah, you know, maybe coming here every Friday, then Allah gives you the opportunity for a few Fridays that, and you don't want to, you know, you stop coming because you just don't want to benefit, although you have all the means to come. Then you will find a few weeks later your kafil saying, "Hey man, I need you to work on Fridays now. You can't come anymore. I need you on Fridays." But maybe you were tricking him, huh? You take the car, say, "Masalama, I'm going to JDC." You go to the corniche. Huh? He spent some time for a few Fridays. Allah knows that from you. Then when you had the chance to come and really learn, you didn't. Then you will find your kafil and say, "Hey man, you can't go on Fridays anymore." Then you say, "Oh, oof." Huh? Then you're going to get busying yourself with whatever he exists to give you on Friday, as opposed to you coming here and learning. So these are real life examples. I mean, these are some things that we need to be mindful of. So this is what the Shaykh was mentioning. And he gives us some examples. The first and most major one. فَمَنْ تَرَكَ عِبَادَةِ الرَّحْمَنِ ابْتُلِيَ بِعِبَادَةِ الْأَوْثَانِ. Whomever abandons worshiping the Most Merciful, he will become preoccupied with worshiping idols. You don't worship Allah, you will worship something else. You see? You will worship something. But it's not going to be, you got the chance to worship Allah, you didn't like it? Tayyib. Go ahead. Worship these idols. But on the Day of Judgment, you see what they're going to do for you. Nothing. Nothing. Even in the dunya, they're not going to do anything. And on the Day of the Judgment, they will say, "Wallah, we're slaves of Allah like you. We're the creation of Allah. Why were you worshipping us?" They will declare their innocence from those who were following them. And then the followers will declare their innocence from those they were followed. And there will be a big dispute between the people. And all of them will wind up in the hellfire. Wal'iyadu billah. وَمَنْ تَرَكَ مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ وَخَوْفِهِ وَرَجَائِهِ اِبْتُلِيَ بِمَحَبَّةِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ وَخَوْفِهِ وَرَجَائِهِ. And whomever abandons loving Allah and having fear of Him and having hope in Allah, he will become preoccupied with loving other than Allah, having fear of other than Allah, and having hope in other than Allah. You see? You see this in your life, in your real life. وَمَنْ لَمْ يُنْفِقْ مَالَهُ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ أَنْفَقَهُ فِي طَاعَةِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And whoever does not spend his money in obedience to Allah, he will spend his money in obedience to Satan, to the devil. He will wind up using the money, huh, in a wrong way. وَمَنْ تَرَكَ الذُّلَّ لِرَبِّهِ ابْتُلِيَ بِالذُّلَّ لِلْعَبِيدِ. And whomever abandons humiliating himself to Allah, he will be preoccupied by being humiliated by the creation of Allah. وَمَنْ تَرَكَ الْحَقِّ ابْتُلِيَ بِالْبَاطِلِ. And finally, whomever abandons the truth, he will become preoccupied with falsehood. He leaves alone the Qur'an, then he spends his whole life studying the Bible. And what benefit is that going to do? What benefit is that going to do if it's not going to lead you to Iman? If you have already abandoned the Qur'an. But if you learn the Qur'an and you want to study some verse from the Bible to use it for da'wah, that's another story. But someone who knows, some of the priests, who know that the Qur'an is from Allah, but then they don't turn away from it, then Allah will preoccupy them with studying falsehood. So they will continue to study this falsehood until the Day of Judgment. كَذَلِكَ هَؤُلَاءِ الْيَهُودِ. لما نبذوا كتاب الله اتبعوا ما تتلو الشياطين وتختلق من السحر على ملك سليمان. حيث أخرجت الشياطين للناس السحر. He says similarly, when these Jews, they disregarded the book of Allah, they turned away from the book of Allah, then they became preoccupied with following what the shayateen recite. They didn't want to hear the recitation of the Quran, then they got in return the recitation of the devils. And what they create from magic upon the kingdom of Sulaiman, on the dominion of Sulaiman, where the shayateen produce to the people magic. The shayateen produce magic to the people. And they claim, وزعموا أن سليمان عليه السلام كان يستعمله. And they claim that Sulaiman used to use magic. And this is something I think is part of the belief of some of the Christians today. That, you know, Sulaiman used to use magic to get all of the things that he used to get. Because we know Allah gave him a lot of things. You know, he had shayateen working for him. They would go diving. They would make for him different things. They would, you know, make for him statues and things of the sort. And the various things that they were done by the shayateen. And all of them, even the wind. The wind used to go by Sulaiman's order. If he wishes it to go this way, it will go. He will send it however he wanted. Allah gave him this kind of mulk. King, he was a king. King Sulaiman and King David. So they were kings. Unlike the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was given the choice whether he would like to be a king or he wants to be a regular poor prophet, he chose alayhi salatu wasalam the second. He says, I would prefer to be in this, to take it. He doesn't want to be a king. Otherwise he could have been a king. Allah could have made this whole earth belonging to him. Allah could have turned it into gold and made all of this belong to the Prophet. Who could tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to give the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam whatever he wills? No one. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ascetic. He had no interest in this dunya, in this world. He was focusing on the hereafter. That's why he was not interested in being the king. And we're not saying that Sulaiman is otherwise. Allah gives according to Allah's wisdom. Each one of them is good in his own way. وَبِهِ حَصَلَ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ الْعَظِيمُ. So they claim that Sulaiman used magic and thus he had all this great power and great kingdom. وَهُمْ كَذَبَةٌ فِي ذَلِكَ. And they are liars pertaining to that. فَلَمْ يَسْتَعْمِلْهُ سُلَيْمَانَ بَلْ نَزَّهُ الصَّادِقُ. Sulaiman never used magic and his innocence was declared by Allah. His innocence was declared by Allah. وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانَ. And Sulaiman did not disbelieve. Because when you do magic, you become a disbeliever, as we will see in the next couple of verses. وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانَ أَيْ بِتَعَلُّمِ السِّحْرِ. Sulaiman did not disbelieve by learning magic. فَلَمْ يَتَعَلَّمْهُ. And he did not learn it. وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا بِذَلِكَ. But the shayateen, the devils, disbelieved in that. يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرِ. They teach people magic. مِنْ إِضْلَالِهِمْ وَحِرْصِهِمْ عَلَى إِغْوَاءِ بَنِي آدَمَ. Why? Because the devil is keen and strives to misguide the children of Adam. He strives to misguide us from the straight path. وَكَذَلِكَ اتَّبَعَ الْيَهُودُ السِّحْرَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ الْكَائِنَيْنِ بِأَرْضِ بَابِلَ مِنْ أَرْضِ الْعِرَاقِ. And likewise the Jews followed the magic which was sent upon the two angels that were residing in the land of Babylon, in Iraq, in Iraq. أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِمَ السِّحْرُ امْتِحَانًا وَابْتِلَاءً مِنَ اللَّهِ لِعِبَادِهِ فَيُعَلِّمَانُهُمْ السِّحْرَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them down with magic. Magic was sent upon them as means of tests from Allah. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to test His creation. So they were teaching people magic. Now what is this relevant? This is very relevant. Because someone may say, how could this be done? By angels. Then we turn around and say, listen, even the sending of a messenger is a trial. You know, Allah says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The one who created death and life, just to test you, who is better indeed. وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. Allah says, and we will test you with evil and goodness as a trial. So everything is a trial. Those who want to be misguided, they will fall into this trick. They will trick themselves and become misguided. And those who seek guidance from Allah, Allah will ever guide them and protect them from misguidance. This is just the bottom line of things. Now, وما يعلمان من أحد حتى ينصحانه ينصحاه. Although even though they teach magic, they don't do so unless they advise the person first. ويقولا إنما نحن فتنة فلا تكفر. They say we are only a test. Do not disbelieve. يعني you want something better than that. يعني they're telling the person we could teach you, but don't do that. This is a trial for you. This fitna. Don't disbelieve in Allah. So if the person fears Allah and turns away, they let him go. If they insist, then they will teach him. But then we will see what will happen in the hereafter. أي لا تتعلم السحر فإنه كفر. Do not learn magic. It is disbelief. فينهيان عن السحر. So they refrain or they avoid, they prevent him from magic. I'm sorry. ويخبرانه عن مرتبته فتعليم الشياطين للسحر على وجه التدليس والإضلال. So then they tell him about what degree or what level he will be at after he learns his magic. So verily the teaching of the shayateen to magic is a form of يعني misguidance and lying against the people. ونسبته وترويجه إلى من برأه الله منه وهو سليمان عليه السلام. And then they try to claim and attribute all that to Sulaiman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared his innocence. وتعليم الملكين امتحانا مع نصحهما لئلا يكون لهم حجة. And although the two angels teach them, after they advise them, is so that they will not have any excuse on the day of judgment. We'll say, well, you know, the angels taught me the magic, I didn't know. It will be said, the angels told you, we are only a fitna, don't disbelieve. Now you disregarded that, you continued, you can no longer come on the day of judgment and complain, say, you know, I did not know. Because now the proof has been established. Now. فهؤلاء اليهود يتبعون السحر الذي تعلمه الشياطين. These Jews are following the magic which was taught by the shayateen. والسحر الذي يعلمه الملكان. And in the magic that was taught by the two angels. So we have one taught by the devils and one that was taught by the two angels, Harut and Marut in Babylon. فتركوا علم الأنبياء والمرسلين وأقبلوا على علم الشياطين وكل يصب إلى ما يناسبه. So they left alone the knowledge of the prophets and the messengers, and they directed themselves towards the knowledge of the devils, and each person will verily go with that which is most befitting for him. They wanted to disregard the knowledge of the Torah, the knowledge of the revelation of Allah, then they were given and they became preoccupied with learning the knowledge of the shayateen, learning magic, how to separate between a man and his wife, as the next verses will mention. We will see what they will do with this magic. So anyways, magic is real, it is real in Islam, and it is kufr. So any magician is a disbeliever. You cannot be a Muslim magician. And you cannot use magic in Islam for anything. You cannot use magic for anything. It's forbidden to get engaged in that. Actually, it's mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad among as-sab' al-mubiqat, the seven grave destructive sins that will destroy the person. Among them is magic. After disbelief in Allah, magic.
This is not a kind of major shirk.
Major, yes. Because many of the current day magicians, they do not become magicians unless they insult the Quran. And they know this from يعني the shaitan will tell them, bring the Quran, put it in the toilet. Yes, step on it. Then and only then, the shayateen will work for them. And when the shayateen work for them, you'll do some magic. That's why you see David Copperfield and the likes. He flies and he goes and he comes. You say, Ashada, man, this is crazy. No, this is real. The shayateen maybe working with him, unless if we're saying it's not a trick, assuming that what he's doing is real. This is something that in Islam we believe in, because we will see in an incident with Sulaiman, remember, with the queen of Saba, when they told him, we will bring you the arsh, we will bring you her throne, Ifrit from the jinn, said, I will bring it to you before your eye blinks. And they did, they brought it for him. So these things happen. But those who get involved in this lifestyle, they will have no share in the hereafter. They want to play with the shayateen in this world, Allah allows them. They get warned, they get advice. If they insist on taking this lifestyle, don't ask for nothing on the day of judgment. No Jannah and hell. We will see. Then Allah says, then the Shaykh says, ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ مَفَاسِدَ السِّحْرِ ذَكَرَ مَفَاسِدَ السِّحْرِ فَقَالْ فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ منهما ما يفرقون به بين المرء وزوجه مع أن محبة الزوجين لا تقاس بمحبة غيرهما. Now, what do they learn? Allah سبحانه وتعالى enumerated some of the harmful effects of magic. The first thing is that they learn that which will make separation between a husband and his wife, between a man and his spouse, a woman and her husband. Although the love of the spouses is incomparable to the love of others, you know, because there's so much harmony between a husband and his wife, and you know, other than the love that is available elsewhere, of course, except that of the parents. Because Allah says, and Allah Ta'ala bi aqima wa ja'ala baynakum mawaddatan wa rahma. Because when Allah described this, some of His signs upon His creation, is that He made between the spouses mawadda, mawadda, gentleness and love, wa rahma, and mercy. This is something that Allah instilled in the hearts of the spouses. وفي هذا دليل على أن السحر له حقيقة. The Shaykh said, in this there is an evidence that magic is true. وأنه يضر بإذن الله, and that it does harm, but by the will of Allah. They may separate between a man and his wife, but not independent from the will of Allah. It must be by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. And Allah gave His means of protection by saying the various adhkar, the various remembrance after the salah, before you go to the bathroom, when you get out of the bathroom, before you eat, after you eat, before you enter the masjid, after you exit the masjid, when you, the remembrance of the morning and the evening, all these are means of protection for the believer, where no evil eye will affect you bi-idhnillah, no envy will affect you bi-idhnillah, no magic will affect you. You will be protected by the name of Allah, because you're always remembering Allah. And the remembrance of Allah keeps away the shayateen. The devils cannot come around someone who remembers Allah often. So the continuous remembrance of Allah will protect you from being affected. Usually those who are affected are those who have distance. They are distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one can harm anyone except by the will of Allah. أي بإرادة الله. والإذن نوعان, إذن قدري وهو المتعلق بمشيئة الله كما في هذه الآية. Now except by the will of Allah, he said the will of Allah is of two kinds. One that is relevant to the decree of Allah, universal, the decree of Allah, which has to do with Allah's leave, يعني by Allah's leave, by Allah's will. As in this ayah, وإذن شرعي, an illegal will. So there's a universal will, such as Allah willing, Allah wills that you disobey. Allah may will through His decree that you disobey Him. But did Allah will that legally? No. Allah told you haram. Don't do that. You follow me? In the legal law, the will of Allah, the legal will of Allah, He did not allow you to do a particular act. But in the decree of Allah, He allowed it to happen because you chose to do it, of course. But legally, He did not permit you to do that. So there are two kinds of wills. The will that is relevant to decree, which is this one, that they will not harm anyone except by the will of Allah. Only if Allah wills. But legally, did Allah allow magic? According to the law? No. In the law, magic is haram. But in the decree of Allah, people are affected by magic. That's the difference. That's the distinction we're trying to make. طيب. وَإِذْنْ شَرْعِيكَ مَا بِقَوْلِ تَعَالَى بِلَيْهِ سَبِقَ فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَى قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And another one legal, which is the statement of Allah, verily He has sent down the Quran upon your heart by the will of Allah. وَفِي هَذِي الْآيَةُ وَمَا أَشْبَهَهَا وما أن الأسباب مهما بلغت في قوة التأثير فإنها تابعة للقضاء والقدر. We learn from this verse that the causes and the reasons, no matter how strong they are relevant to the will of Allah. No matter how strong the wills are, يعني if a car, you're crossing the street, and an 18-wheeler, the biggest truck in the world, huh, runs you over going at the speed of 200 kilometers per hour. The reasons are very strong that you will be squashed. You will not survive. But if Allah wills, you will. You see? So nothing, يعني the reasons are never independent of the will of Allah. At the end of the day, it's by the will of Allah. If Allah wills, nothing will happen to you. You see what I'm saying? So this is by the will of Allah. Now, ليست مستقلة في التأثير ولم يخالف هذا الأصل أحد من فرق الأمة غير القدرية في أفعال العباد. He says so it is not independent and no one denied that among those who belong to the Muslims, those who claim to be among the Muslims, except a denomination or a group called Al-Qadariya, those who actually deny Qadr regarding the actions of the slaves. زعموا أنها مستقلة غير تابعة للمشايخ. They claim, these are a group among the Muslims, may Allah guide them, that your actions are irrelevant to the will of Allah. You do whatever you wish, whether Allah wills it or not. That's crazy. فأخرجوها عن قدرة الله. فقال في كتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأجمع الصحابة والتابعين. So they wind up opposing the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and the companions and the early generations of Muslims. ثم ذكر أن علم السحر مضر محض. Then Allah mentioned that the knowledge, having knowledge of magic, is pure harm, purely harmful. ليس فيه منفعة. There's no benefit in it. لا دينية ولا دنيوية. Not a religious one or a worldly one. كما يوجد بعض المنافع الدنيوية في بعض المعاصي. Unlike some other acts of disobedience or sins, where there will be some benefits in them. For example, gambling. I mean, there may be some benefit. It's haram, but you may win a lot of money all of a sudden, right? So there's a worldly benefit, not a religious benefit. Don't get me wrong. That money lacks all the blessings and may be the reason for your destruction. But worldly, in the worldly fashion, you gain money. So even some of the things, as Allah says in the Quran, كما قال تعالى في الخمر والميسر قل فيهما إثم كبير ومنافع للناس وإثمهما أكبر من نفعهما. When Allah, when they asked the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم about الخمر, about wine, Allah revealed, say, tell them about wine and gambling, that there is major sin in them and some benefit for the people, but their sin is far greater than the benefit. Their harm is greater than the benefit. Otherwise, there may be some insignificant benefit in them, worldly benefit, but their harm exceeds them. And the principle in Islam, anything that has more harm than good is haram. Either something that is purely evil, purely harmful, or haram, or something that has more harm than good, it's also haram. Only when the good is more than the harm, it becomes halal. Such as a man having four wives. It is harmful for the woman because she doesn't want that. Huh? She's jealous. But the benefit for the society, for the people, for the rest of the woman, for the rest of the ummah are tremendous. So then because of the benefit outweighs the harm, then Islam legalized and made it halal. Otherwise, it's يعني, you know, to find something that would be pleasing to everyone is something يعني, that human beings vary. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His wisdom, whatever the benefit exceeded the harm or was strictly beneficial is halal. Whatever was strictly harmful is haram, or the harm exceeded the benefit is also haram. This is understood. So gambling and wine, you know, selling wine, you make a lot of money. There's a worldly benefit. Gambling, you make a lot of money. There's a worldly benefit. But the harm is greater. They keep you away from the remembrance of Allah. You may kill your own brother, man. You may come with a brother gambling. Before you sit on the table, you love him. After he takes all of your money, you just want, you know what I'm saying? You just can't even look at him anymore. He's just laughing. Ha ha ha, you know, smoking a cigarette. You saw that in some of the movies. Smoking a cigarette. And he's just looking at him like, my money is with him. Huh? So you may kill him. Right or wrong? Subhanallah, that's gambling, man. It's unfair. You work many years for your money, then you play around with someone with some numbers, and all of a sudden he eats the whole thing. Or you are a lazy, lousy employee, then all of a sudden you become a millionaire because you want some lottery. You know, sir, it doesn't make any sense, man. So there's this, it will create envy. Subhanallah, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him haram. Because the brother in Islam is more valuable than anything. Forget about money, man. If you're gonna hate your brother for money, then forget about money. Similarly with wine. You know, you may rest, but you may also kill your mother if she talks too much. Why are you drunk? Huh? Hey woman, Well, I told you, you know, somebody, for some of these crazy cowboys, you know, he pull out a gun, boom, boom, he shoot his mom and continue watching, flipping the channels on the TV. They come watching the police, they just watching TV, killed his mother, and she talked too much. Had too many beers, yes, this many beers sitting next to him. What do you call these people, man? These people do this in real life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purified the Muslims from anything that will cause them to act in a manner that is not befitting. So these things, although they may contain some worldly benefit, because of all of these harm, all of this harm involved, it's a no-no. But now magic is purely harmful. SubhanAllah. There's no worldly gain in it. No worldly gain and no gain in the hereafter. That's what the Shaykh was saying. فَهَذَا السِّحْرْ مَضَرَّ مَحْضًا. It is pure harm. فَلَيْسَ لَهُ دَاعٍ أَصْلًا. You have no need for magic, man. What do you want for magic? Why would you even go there and work with the shayateen? To do what? To disappear from a place and reappear somewhere else? To separate between a man and his wife? What do you want? Yani, this is pure evil, man. If you get involved in that, you're nothing but wickedness. Harming yourself, harming the people around you. فالمنهيات كلها إما مضرة محضة أو شرها أكبر من خيرها. As we mentioned earlier, everything that is prohibited is either purely harmful or the harm exceeds the benefit. كبعد المأمورات, similarly things that have been commanded, إما مصلح محضة, even pure benefit, pure good, or the good exceeds the evil. ولقد علموا, and they have known, the Jews, أي اليهود لمن اشتراه أي رغبة في السحر رغبة المشتري في السلعة. The Jews know that those who purchase it. Yani he said the reason the word purchase was used, the same way the consumer has يعني the consumer has the desire to purchase. You know, maybe you see an iPod or something. As a consumer, you have this desire to buy it. Similarly, they want to do it with magic. It's almost like someone buying a product. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Someone almost buying a product. مَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقِ أَيْ نَصِيبِهِ will have in the hereafter no portion, no share of the hereafter. بَلْ هُوَ مُوجِبٌ لِلْعُقُوبَ rather it will necessitate punishment. فَلَمْ يَكُنْ فِعْلُهُمْ إِيَّا جَهْلًا. So them going and dwelling into magic was not done out of ignorance. They knew what they were getting into. وَلَكِنَّهُمْ مُسْتَحَبُّ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ but they just favored the life of the dunya over the akhirah. That's the bottom line. They favored the quick, immediate fun over the eternal fun. And so they will get the eternal punishment. وَلَبِئْسَ مَا شَرَوْا بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. What an horrible purchase. What a terrible transaction that they have bought for themselves. لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ had they only known. عِلْمًا يُثْمِرُ الْعَمَلْ مَا فَعَلُوا. Knowledge that will produce action. But they did not do it. And we will stop inshallah, because I'm sure Dr. Yahya inshallah may walk in any moment. We are at verse number 104, and we will see some more things that are relevant to da'wah bi'ithnillah azza wa jalla next week. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik, shahadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.